Hello, thank you for joining me for our study of 1 Peter. As we have gone through chapter 3, we have been challenged to do good works, and we have seen that we do those good works by submitting to those in authority over us. And even when we have sharp disagreements and strong opinions about our leaders, we must follow what the Scripture says. We have yet to see a ruler in our nation like Nero. But sometimes I think that we may be pretty close, but we are to submit to our authorities over us in the government. We are also to submit in the workplace. And as we saw last week, wives were instructed to submit to their own husbands. Now, along with submitting, another concept or command was given to us, and we probably did not look at it as in depth as we could have. And that command is to honor. So let me read verse 17 from 1 Peter chapter 2 again. It says, honor everyone, love the brothers and sisters, fear God, honor the emperor. So we are to honor everyone. This goes beyond honoring our government leaders and officials, and it goes beyond submitting to and honoring our employers, and it goes beyond the honor spouses should show to one another. When we are told to honor everyone, it includes every person and excludes no one. And what better way could we honor people than by blessing them? That is just what we are called to do. We are called to bless others. So let's look in 1 Peter chapter 3 and look at verses 8 through 12 and see the further instructions that the Lord has given us through the Apostle Peter as we look at this letter that Peter wrote to the early church. It says in verse 8 of 1 Peter 3, finally, all of you be like-minded and sympathetic, love one another, and be compassionate and humble, not paying back evil for evil or insult for insult, but on the contrary, giving a blessing, since you were called for this, so that you may inherit a blessing. For the one who wants to love life and to see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. And let him turn away from evil and do what is good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Because the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do what is evil. Let's pray. Father, as we look at this passage today, as we study your word, I ask that your Holy Spirit would continue to open up our hearts and our minds to receive your word and for it to bear fruit in our lives. Help us to be a blessing to others. Help us to honor others by being a blessing to them. And help us to live our lives in such a way that your ears will be open to our prayers and that your eyes will be upon us. And so, Lord, we ask that you would help us to walk in righteousness, not our own righteousness, but in your righteousness. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we look at our passage today, we see that it calls us to live better, and it calls us to live better than what we have in the past. It calls us to live better than people outside the faith. It calls us to live as Christ lived. And as followers of Christ, we are called to bless others. Now, the calling for us to bless others is a calling, of course, to be like the Lord. Now, let me remind you that as we think about salvation, salvation is both immediate and a process. It is not done once for all. It has to, we go through a process called sanctification. And so it's been described once that, I've heard it described before as I've grown up in church and things. And it is true that, we are saved eternally when we trust Christ as our Lord and Savior when we're born again. After we are born again, we go through the process of sanctification, which we are being saved in that we sin less than what we have, and we are more like Christ. And we go through life going through that transition of being less like we were before salvation and becoming more like Jesus. And then when we see Jesus, whether in the rapture or if we pass away before the Lord comes to get his church, then once we see Jesus, we will be like him. and we will be ultimately saved. Not only will we be saved from the consequence of sin like we were when we were born again, and not only would we be the thought just left me. So, you know, we're saved eternally when we're born again, but then we go through the process of being saved, and then when we are ultimately saved, we are saved not only from the consequence of sin. I'm catching that thought again, but we are saved from the presence of sin, because our bodies will be transformed. We'll have the glorified body for all of eternity, because we'll see Jesus and be like him. And so that salvation will ultimately be realized in heaven. But it is this process part of salvation, this process of sanctification, that we want to look at right now. And while those of us that are saved from the consequence of sin, we are in the process of becoming more like the Lord. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 through 18, it says, "But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We all, with unveiled faces, are looking as in a mirror at the glory of the Lord, and are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. This is from the Lord, who is the Spirit." Now, as we conform to the Lord's image, we must conform to what the Lord does. We must give a blessing to others rather than paying back evil for evil or insult for insult. And this concept is impossible for our flesh to accept. Our flesh does not want to accept doing good for those who do bad toward us. We, in our flesh, we want to get others back. And so this idea of being a blessing to others, it goes completely against our pride. And it goes completely against our pride to bless those who insult us and do evil against us. And so it is very difficult for us to overcome the flesh in this area. And it is one of the most difficult things for us to overcome is pride. And it is the culprit for our failure oftentimes to grow spiritually. You know, pride is the opposite of who Jesus is. Jesus was humble. He is humble. He is meek. He is lowly. He's described himself as meek and lowly. And so, therefore, for us to be a follower of Christ, we must humble ourselves. We must be like Jesus to be meek and lowly. We need to remove from ourselves even the smallest amount of pride. And so we need to, bless others in that we remove that pride. And once pride is removed, we are better able to fulfill that calling to be a blessing to others. So what is a blessing? Well, what does it mean to bless others? Or what does he mean by blessing? And so the word blessing, it pertains to favorable situations, conditions, and experiences enjoyed by the person or persons to whom the blessings belong. Now, it can refer to pronouncements intended to bring about these beneficial circumstances. I think about, Jacob stealing the blessing that Isaac was going to give to Esau. And so there was that pronouncement of blessing that was given to Jacob, actually he stole it, but it was intended for Esau. But, Isaac didn't necessarily give something, but he pronounced words of blessing over his son. And so essentially, if we are to bless someone, we are praying for their health and prosperity. In other words, we desire good for them rather than bad. And so a blessing is a prayer that God would do something favorable for another person. And in addition to that, if we as followers of Christ are going to be a blessing to others, then we are going to be the conduit through which God blesses others. And so we need to be willing to do that. And oftentimes that means for us to even be willing, we have to let go of our pride and embrace humility. And sometimes we have to be a blessing to those who have hurt us. We have to be a blessing to those who have done us wrong. And, you know, our example, Jesus, he was a blessing to even those who crucified him. He died for those that were putting him to death, and he died to save them from their sins, just like he did for you and me. And so even while they were doing the absolute worst that they could to Jesus, he was still being a blessing to them by dying for them to save them from their sins. And so we have that example before us. Even with the way people do us wrong, we really don't have an excuse not to be a blessing to everyone that we know and those around us. And so as we continue, let's think about how we can be a blessing to others. You know, there are several things that we can do and that we are instructed to do in our passage here in 1 Peter chapter 3. First of all, we are to be like-minded. And as a local church, as a local body of believers, we are to be like-minded with our focus on Christ and his glory. We ought to be focused on Jesus, and all of us united underneath that common banner, who is Jesus Christ, and he is the one that we rally around and that we exist to serve and to make much of. And so I want to encourage you to be a blessing by being like-minded with other believers in your church. Also, be sympathetic. Being sympathetic in the church has the idea, or the same idea, of your body being sympathetic to one of its members that is hurt. I think about stubbing your toe late at night when I think about being sympathetic for other church members. You know, if you get up late at night and you go and you stub your toe against something, and what happens is that you start hopping up and down. Maybe you pull your leg up and the opposite hand grabs that foot, and you are probably making some sort of sound to express the pain that you feel, and the whole body is being sympathetic to that toe getting hurt. And so we too need to be like the whole body, being sympathetic. When one of us hurts, we are to have that sympathy. And that's one of the ways that we can be a blessing to others, is by being sympathetic. And of course, loving one another, being compassionate, being humble, just to give a blessing, to speak a blessing over someone. We are a blessing to others as well as to the Lord when we turn away from evil, when we repent of our sin. We're a blessing when we do what is good. And we are a blessing when we seek and pursue peace. We also have a few things not to do if we're going to be a blessing. First of all, we do not pay back evil for evil. We don't do unto others as they have done to us, but we do unto others as we would have them do unto us. And so we don't pay back evil for evil. We don't pay back insult for insult. And we don't speak evil against people. You know, many times we might repeat what we have heard about somebody, and that becomes gossip. And gossip is speaking bad or evil of someone, and gossip does not need to be in the church. We do not need to speak evil of each other. And then, of course, we do not need to speak deceit either. And so as we read this passage here, as we're looking at it, we have to ask ourselves, are we a blessing? Am I a blessing to others? Do I bless others? Does my good works bless others? Do I do the work of blessing? Let's read our passage again. So verses 8 through 12 of 1 Peter 3, it says, "Finally, all of you be like-minded and sympathetic. Love one another and be compassionate and humble, not paying back evil for evil or insult for insult, but on the contrary, giving a blessing, since you were called for this, so that you may inherit a blessing. For the one who wants to love life and to see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit, and let him turn away from evil and do what is good. Let him seek peace and pursue it, because the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do what is evil. The Lord draws a line here as we're looking in this passage, and he draws the line between those who are righteous and those who do what is evil. Now, those that are righteous refrain from evil. They are repentant when they sin. They love others. They are compassionate and they are humble. In other words, they follow Christ. And so as we look at this, we need to understand that those who do what is evil, they may have an outward appearance of righteousness, but on the inside, they are not righteous. And God does not just look at the outside. He knows the evil thoughts. He knows the evil desires of your heart. And we must be very mindful of verse 12. Verse 12 of 1 Peter chapter 3, again it says, because the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do what is evil. So as we're looking at this passage, we are confronted with this question: where do we stand with the Lord? Have we been a blessing to others, or have we been evil toward each other? Are we righteous or are we unrighteous? Where do we stand in this? Now, we ask ourselves, are the Lord's ears open to our prayers, or is his face against us? Now, we understand that none of us are righteous. Romans 3, 10 and 11 says, as it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. So on a human standpoint, in our flesh, there is no one that is righteous. Not a single one of us is righteous. But if we've been born again, and we continue to look in the scripture here, we go down a few verses in Romans 3 to verses 21 through 26, we can see that we can be made righteous through faith in Jesus Christ. So in verse 21 of Romans 3, it says, but now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been revealed, attested by the law and the prophets. The righteousness of God is through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe, since there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. God presented him as the mercy seat by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his restraint, God passed over the sins previously committed. God presented him to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time so that he would be just and justify the one who has faith in Jesus. Now, the only way that we can truly live out 1 Peter 3 is to be righteous, but righteousness only comes through faith in Jesus Christ. It is through his blood. How can any of us boast or be proud when we are just as sinful as any and every human being? How can any of us not live in humility, knowing that it is through Christ alone that we are saved? We have no right, as followers of Christ, to be anything but a blessing to others. And so we need to check and make sure that we've been saved. And if we're not being a blessing to others, we need to question our salvation. But if we are a blessing to others, we need to continue to be a blessing. Now let me put a word of caution here. We need to be a blessing to not just those people we like, but also to those that get on our nerves, those that we don't like for whatever reason. We are called to be, for whatever reason that we don't like them, we need to understand that we are called to be a blessing to everyone. And the greatest blessing that we could ever be to another person is to share with them the hope of Jesus Christ, to let that person know that they're a sinner in need of a Savior, and the Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to encourage you to be a blessing for others by praying for them, by sharing the gospel with them, and inviting them to church if they don't go to church. But be the blessing by giving them the greatest news, which is also the most important news that could ever be shared, and that is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, we ask you today to help us to be a blessing to those around us. Most importantly, to be a blessing to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.